Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Twanda Black, your host, and so many things that we thought we knew about the brain in the past years, but we find out that the brain is regenerative, which is really great for what's going on in the world with certain diseases and illnesses such as Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, autism, MS, ADHD, and a few more things. Dr. Norman Deutsch joins us. He's a psychiatrist, a psychoanalyst, and on the research faculty of the Center for Psychoanalytic Training and Research at Columbia University's Department of Psychiatry in New York City. He's written this new book called The Brain That Changes Itself, Remarkable Discoveries and Recoveries from the Frontiers of Neuroplasticity, The Brain's Way of Healing. Good morning to you, Dr. Deutsch.
Good morning. Good morning.
Wow, you're talking about frontier. Awesome work that you've done. When you talk about, it's my grandfather had Parkinson's, so I know what that's like. My mom's best friend had Alzheimer's, and I have a child with ADHD, so I was in this book really watching what you were talking about, and here you're talking about the brain regenerating itself.
We used to think for about 100 years that the brain was like an electrical machine, mm-hmm. and its circuits were fixed. You may have heard the word hardwired circuits.
Yes.
And this is just a metaphor. But it was taken much too far. Some things may be hardwired, but most of the brain works actually by changing its circuitry. We say now that the brain is neuroplastic, meaning that the neurons or the nerve cells in the brain are adaptable and modifiable, and they can be modified by mental activity, physical activity, just even moving your body modifies your brain mm-hmm. circuitry, I'll explain, and mental experience. And in the book, The Brain's Way of Healing, I describe a number of new treatments for some of those illnesses or problems that you listed that involve forms of activity that change brain structure and function. We knew in the 19th century that if the brain structure changed, mental experience changes. But now what we've discovered is that it's a two-way street and that mental experience of various kinds done over time can also change brain structure, and in some conditions, it can diminish symptoms. You mentioned Alzheimer's. I have no cure for Alzheimer's mm-hmm. that I describe, but a major, major study from Wales in the UK a year ago showed that people who do 5 healthy behaviors can actually reduce their risk of getting dementia, that's either Alzheimer's or vascular dementia, by 60%. So that's in a population. Over 2,200 men were followed for 30 years in the most important study ever done of exercise and dementia. And if they walked, a mile to work and back 5 days a week or rode a bike for 10 miles, a day to work, or did regular physical exercise, plus didn't drink very much, no smoking, were a normal weight, mm-hmm. And ate fruits and vegetables. If they did 4 of those 5 healthy behaviors, they reduced their risk of getting dementia by a staggering 60%. If any drug did that and nothing comes close, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. it'd be the most talked about drug on the planet.
Amazing.
And that's because when you walk, you actually turn on brain growth factors that consolidate connections in the brain, and you even create a few new cells in your brain. Because when animals go on long walks, it's because they're fleeing one environment and going to a new one where they're going to have to do a lot of learning. Mm-hmm. And so that exertion triggers these growth factors, which keep your brain healthy and fit.
You also talk about light therapy, sound therapy. Of course, you just talked about exercise, and then there is mental awareness of movement. I was reading the story about John Pepper, and that was really a great, great story. You include all of these different cases and talk about, how the people went from one point to this really great point of healing. So talk about light therapy and sound therapy.
Okay, so your brain works through patterns of electrical information. That's the common language in the brain. And we can, our senses convert sound, like our ears convert patterns of information in sound in the human voice and music into patterns of electrical firing. When a sports car pulls up beside you and it's got a pounding beat and it's bothering you, your neurons are firing at the same dominant frequency as that beat. So we can get basically influence the brain non-invasively using this by using sensory experience, for instance, with sound. And children with autism are hypersensitive to sounds, and we can actually use certain special frequencies that reduce those sensitivities. And when they do, their nervous systems calm down radically, and they start connecting emotionally to people around them and are able to develop speech. Because when you're constantly hypersensitive to sound, you're in a fight-flight reaction, and you're just worried about survival. You can't actually connect to people, so you withdraw. Now, autism is way more complicated than that, but this is a new intervention. Light was used by ancient peoples for healing. We all knew that light was necessary for growth and healing. But the discovery of low-intensity lasers has been absolutely remarkable. So most people, when they hear the word laser, they think of high-intensity lasers that can be used in surgery, and they actually destroy or cut through flesh, like in James Bond when Goldfinger ties him down and says he's going to cut him in half. But low-intensity lasers foster healing. They foster the growth of cartilage. They decrease pain. They normalize inflammation. They can be helpful for arthritis. But it turns out that they also can be helpful for brain problems. And I describe in detail cases of concussion and brain trauma in the book where light is used. It helps basically, you know, just as light is involved in helping to power up growth in plants, there's a part of the cells in our body and in our brains called the mitochondria, and life will help mitochondria in sick cells restore and reawaken dormant circuits that have been disrupted in brain injury and concussion and in stroke. So again, it's a non-invasive way. No one has to be cut open. You don't have to take a drug that passes through your entire body and every, you know, almost every cell in your brain to do these treatments. They can be very focal and non-invasive.
So we only have 2 minutes. So what I want to know is, I'm in Atlanta, you're in Canada or wherever you are. Where do we go? Who's doing the treatments? What kind of doctor are we looking for?
It doesn't work like that.
Oh, okay.
When you talk about cutting-edge stuff, I mean, of course, yeah, it is where you go. It depends on your condition, right? There's not like a single doctor in the world who's doing all of these. That's
right,
what I mean by that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, in the book, I describe a number of these pioneers. Some of them are trained people that have spread out through the United States and the world. Some of them less so. You have to figure out work with your health professional, figure out what condition you've got. I've got two books that describe this, The Brain That Changes Itself, and more recently, The Brain's Way of Healing. And then, you know, look in the book and then go to the websites of these people and see if there are practitioners in your community. Like, there's incredible stroke practitioners in, you know, spread out through the United States. And I don't know who's in Atlanta. That's, you know, you have to check the websites for that.
Okay, okay. This is really, really interesting work, and it being non-invasive is just wonderful, because, you know, as in the medical field, everything requires a pill or cutting or some kind of surgery, and this is amazing, amazing work. Tell folks where they can get the book from.
You know, any major bookstore or online, you know, book distributors are carrying the book right now.
Okay.
Or you can go to my website, normandeutsch.com. It's like Dodge with an I, and get more information about where to get it.
Fascinating book, The Brain's Way of Healing. Dr. Norman Deutsch is the author. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Twanda Black, your host. And joining me this morning, Mark Schneider. He is Executive Vice President of Global Chief Marketing Officer for Church's Chicken and / Texas Chicken, which we know nothing about Texas Chicken, but we all know about Church's Chicken. And Mark, you guys are going through a transformation, as it were.
We are, yes. Good morning. Thank you for having me on. We are going through a transformation, I think, on a number of different levels for the Church's brand. I mean, the Church's brand is 60-plus years old. It's been through, like any brand of its age, you know, it's been through a lot of experiences. It's been through its ups and its downs, but still shows a lot of relevance out in the marketplace. And my opportunity in this particular role, having been on the business for about a year now, is to assess that, what those opportunities are, and figure out where the connection points are in the community. For a business that's based in Atlanta, this is where Church's corporate headquarters is located, as well as reaching out to the community, not just here in Atlanta, but across the network of restaurants that we have across the nation, and begin to understand what the community needs are and what, from a relevancy standpoint, mm-hmm. churches can step in and participate and be part of furthering the growth in those communities and also the hopes and the aspirations of the folks that that live there.
Absolutely. Explain to folks, because you have a corporate side and a franchisee side, and we kind of look at churches all as one thing, and, you know, the brand should be one thing, but there is a little bit of a difference here.
There is. We're a franchise business, as most quick service restaurant chains are. I think in our particular instance, where we have over 300 restaurants that are located here in the United States that are actually owned by the private equity company that owns the brand of Church's. And the balance of the restaurants, we've got over 1,200 restaurants really worldwide. Mm. About 1,000 of those exist here in the United States are owned by independent business owners. So these are, you know, folks that are entrepreneurs themselves and want to be able to establish a business, something that they're passionate about, to participate in their community and also provide for their families. And so we've a large base of our business is franchisee-driven, but we've got a significant number of restaurants, numbering about 300 here in the United States, that are actually owned by the folks that own the Church's brand.
So let's talk about what you are doing to rebrand, if I could say that, but you're reimagining some of the stores. Some of the restaurants have been the same forever I'm in, since we can remember, and I'm in my 50s, so I remember Churches, and it's, some of them are the same. So, but you're reimagining some of the restaurants right now.
Yeah, we actually are. We've got this this major initiative underway, not just here in Atlanta, but across the United States. And one of the things, you know, a great legacy brand like Church's, you know, has as part of its DNA is, you know, longevity in our communities, and particularly in the urban communities. And over time, getting the right level of investment to refresh those properties, refresh those restaurants, as well as the right vision for the way these restaurants should look and perform in the communities that we live in, has been a big undertaking. Our CEO, Jim Hyatt, who's been on the brand now for about 3 years, was a franchisee, not for Churches, but with another QSR brand, and, you know, has been a CEO for some of the other QSR restaurant brands out there, brings all of that experience and knowledge forward. So he knows the balance between what the brand needs as a restaurant and an expression for the customer experience, but he also knows how to balance that with the investment requirements for the franchisees and the good people that own the businesses out there. So the reimages that we actually started testing a new package in a couple of markets like Albuquerque, Columbus, Georgia is another mm-hmm. great market that we've been able to re-image restaurants in. And at the center of all of this, of course, is the great chicken that we make. But we've had such great response to the refresh around the restaurants in these communities and the uptake from customers in terms of, you know, we've always loved your chicken, but it's great now to have a great fresh experience.
That's right.
Just at the store and restaurant level mm-hmm. when we come in. It really makes us feel good about your investment in our community. It makes us feel even better about the church's chicken that we've loved for so long.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Talked about this in the beginning about community engagement. And I know that growing up, you know, Churches used to do a lot of things in the community. Are you going to go back to that?
I think we have to. I mean, this is the age that we live in today. Brands have to be very transparent about what their intentions are. And a business like churches that sits on street corners in these communities and has for many years, and our communities give us, you know, great credit for the longevity that we have in the markets that that they live and work in and that we've been in. But you really have to be able to go further to support, again, what the hopes and aspirations are those particular markets. And one of the things that our customers tell us consistently is the focus on education and being able to provide resources to be able to help their families, their children get education, particularly college educations, if they come out of high school. And one of the things that we established back in 2014 was the Church's Scholar Program. And we award $1,000 scholarships to high school seniors. So in our pilot year, which was 2014, we awarded $50,000 scholarships. And we're now in our second year. We've expanded the program to include 17 states, and we're looking to award 175 scholarships this year, so $175,000. So education, as an example, is one of the things that we're doing because we know it's important to the moms out there in those communities, and we know it's important to the kids as well to be able to have the access to the resources to be able to fulfill their dream to go to college. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a very important piece of what we do. Recently we have been able to get ourselves integrated with key aspects and key events that are happening in the Atlanta minority business community as well, which is a very influential business community here in Atlanta, really the region of Atlanta, not just the city. And so, you know, last fall we were able to support the seniors ball for the mayor. Yes, that throws that great event every year. We most recently were a sponsor for the Georgia Minority Business Awards, and I was able to award the CEO of the Year Award. I'm sorry to Keith Parker, the gentleman that runs MARTA, and that was a great event. So, you know, that's part of the leadership profile that I think is so important in the community where the bigger business actually lives. This is the corporate headquarters for churches, and there are a lot of fine businesses here. We have not been as connected to that as we should be in the past. And it occurred to me as I came into the business a year ago as the chief marketing officer that was something that we needed to make an objective.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, we don't care unless we know how much you care. So that's really great. So in the rollout of reimaging, when are we going to, I know we're seeing in you know, little smaller markets, but, you know, overall, when do you think you're going to be finished with the reimaging and the rebranding and this whole piece?
In the larger scope of things, we know that it's about a 2-year horizon to get the entire system refreshed. In the Atlanta marketplace, we should be significantly complete over the next 18 months. We have a couple of stores that have been reimaged. I was down yesterday at near Clark Atlanta University. Actually, we were at Clark Atlanta University talking to four freshmen that are finishing up their freshman year there, and we were talking around the subject of innovation and social media and what authenticity means in the context of a brand and what does it mean in the context of their own personal experience? What would they say would be authentic? And, you know, it was a very insightful time for us, but one of the restaurants that we have reimaged here, which is right across the street from West End Mall, which we also paid a visit to yesterday, has been refreshed, and it was doing gangbusters business yesterday. Yeah. So Atlanta should be substantially complete over the next 18 months. As we're able to, you know, to get the materials in and schedule the construction work and so forth. But the brand should be significantly complete over the next 2 years.
Pretty awesome. And we know that as the reimaging and the rebranding goes, so will the customer service, correct?
Absolutely right. So that's that's another key piece of it. We know we've always been able to have a great customer promise in the chicken and the preparation and the care with which we serve that. We know we have big opportunity to improve along key factors that we know are important to customers as well, such as friendliness and speed of service. And we've got an operations team that's very focused on that at this point as well. Our franchisees are very engaged around that. And I think as we've seen the reimages come online and some of the new energy around the church's brand and what we can do to take it forward, to take it back to the top of the mountain, I think we're getting a lot of enthusiasm for that, and I think that should be coming through for customers as well.
All right. We want them to come back to their first love. Everybody used to love churches, so
right.
Wanted to come back. Where can folks go to get more information, to just support you in the campaign of rebranding and reimaging church's brand?
Well, our website's a great place to go. So the, you know, www.churches.com is a great place to go. Not only will you find information about what's happening with respect to the brand, but there are also great offers on there as well,
okay.
Coupon offers and items of value from that nature. And we've also got a mobile app. So if you're out there on an iPhone or an Android phone, you're actually able to download a mobile app for churches. And again, it provides you with great offers, will reward you for your visits, and you're also able to, through the commentary fields, communicate directly with us in terms of what you're experiencing at churches, whether it's just around the Great Chicken or it's a newly reimaged restaurant or a customer service experience. So we really are trying to get closer. That's the world we live in today. We have this opportunity to get closer to customers and have a meaningful dialogue with them on a one-to-one basis. And so from a technology standpoint, those are demonstrations, I think, of where we are trying to make that connection and make it simple for customers to communicate with us.
That is so awesome. Mark Schneider, Global Chief Marketing Officer for Church's Chicken. We are so looking forward to this new image and a rebranding of Church's. Thank you for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.